One of Us, the story of a massacre in Norway and its aftermath. Written by Åsne Seierstad, translated by Sarah Death, and read by Suzanne Torren.
Prologue. She ran up the hill through the moss. Her Wellingtons sank into the wet earth. The forest floor squelched beneath her feet. She had seen it. She had seen him fire and a boy fall. "We won't die today, girls," she had said to her companions. "We won't die today." More shots rang out. Rapid reports. A pause. Then another series. She had reached Lover's Path. All around her there were people running, trying to find places to hide. Behind her, a rusty wire fence ran alongside the path. On the other side of the netting, steep cliffs dropped down into the Tyrfjord. The roots of a few lilies of the valley clung to the mountainside, looking as though they had grown out of solid rock. They had finished flowering, and the bases of their leaves were filled with rainwater that had trickled over the rocky edge. From the air, the island was green. The tops of the tall pines spread into each other. The slender branches of thin, broad-leaved trees stretched into the sky. Down here, seen from the ground, the forest was sparse. But in a few places, the grass was tall enough to cover you. Flat rocks hung over one part of the sloping path, like shields you could creep under. There were more shots, louder. Who was shooting? She crept along Lover's Path, back and forth. Lots of kids were there. "Let's lie down and pretend we're dead," one boy said. "Lie down in strange positions so they think we're dead." She lay down, one cheek facing the ground. A boy lay down beside her and put his arm round her waist. There were 11 of them. They all did what the one boy said. If he had said, "Run," perhaps they would have run. But he said, "Lie down." They lay close together, their heads turned towards the forest and the dark trunks of the trees, legs against the fence. Some of them huddled up against each other. A couple were lying in a heap. Two girls, best friends, were holding hands. "It'll be fine," one of the 11 said. The heavy rain had eased off, but some last drops were still trickling down their necks and sweaty cheeks. They took in as little air as possible, trying to breathe without a sound. A raspberry bush had strayed out onto the cliff. Wild roses, pale pink, almost white, were clinging to the fence. Then they heard footsteps approaching. He advanced steadily through the heather. His boots stamped deeply into the ground as he walked over harebells, clover, and trefoil. Some decaying branches snapped underfoot. His skin was pale and damp, and his thin hair was swept back. His eyes were light blue. Caffeine, ephedrine, and aspirin ran in his bloodstream. By this point, he had killed 22 people on the island. After the first shot, it had all been easy. The first shot had cost him. It had been almost impossible. But now, pistol in hand, he was relaxed. He stopped on the little rise that provided cover for the 11. From there, he looked calmly down at them and asked, "Where the hell is he?" His voice came loud and clear. Nobody answered. Nobody moved. The boy's arm lay heavily on her. She was wearing a red waterproof jacket and Wellingtons. He was in checked shorts and a t-shirt. She was tanned. He was pale. The man on the rise started from the right. The first shot entered the head of the boy lying at the end. Then he aimed at the back of her head. Her wavy chestnut-brown hair was wet and shiny in the rain. The shot went right through her head and into her brain.